because I'm hearing a little report at the news one morning, the kids don't even know the pledge anymore.
Our kids do the pledge every morning.
Okay.
Before we start the regular meeting, we have our new English teacher that's on the agenda for your approval tonight. This is Jenna Garofalo.
Yes.
Correct?
Okay.
Here to introduce herself to you.
All right, so greetings, Utah Central School District board members and everyone. My name is Jenna Marie Garofalo, although Miss G will suffice, that's not a problem. And I come to you with passion, eagerness to teach and learn, because I find that students, in addition to other coworkers, are always teaching me something new and great enthusiasm. Going to the Westchester Library as a youngster with my mom, my father buying me a blackboard when I was in middle school, and my grandmother reading me Bath Time Little Ernie countless times when I was too young to read myself, all culminated to inspire me to become a teacher. I graduated Mount St. Mary College in 2009 with a 7 through 12 English Language Arts certification, plus the 5-6 English Language Arts extension. And most recently, I completed my master's there, proudly earning a 4.0, leaving there with the 5 through 12 literacy and students with disabilities in the concentration area of English, New York State certification. Because I am a firm believer that constant revolving in the education world is important to never stop learning, I'm one class shy and one New York State exam shy of attaining my 1 through 6 students with disabilities and the 7 through 12 generalist student with disability certification, which I'm hoping to finish by next summer. Now, I come to you with a background teaching in the Newburgh City School District, as well as the Arlington Central School District, in various grades and levels. For example, 6th grade ELA and science, 6th grade grade intervention, 9th grade AIS ELA summer program, and the middle school summer program. All of the extracurriculars that I have worked in revolve around the education fields because I'm committed to teaching. Now, it was with great honor that I accept this 7th and 8th grade ELA position at UBIS, and I can confidently assure you that I will give 110% each day to each and every student so that they will be able to not only read, write, listen, and speak to meet Common Core standards, but to become upstanding citizens of their community and learn life values such as responsibility and respect to take with them in life. The classroom door is always open, so feel free to drop in and check out what's going on in Ms. G's class, or just to learn a little bit more about me. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
The enthusiasm comes through loud and clear.
Yeah. Welcome.
Yeah. All right. Okay, after that introduction, I guess we move on to public comment. Anyone?
Your team here to talk about lacrosse, right?
Yeah.
We're going to move on. Actually, that's second, right after technology. We'll be right through that very shortly. I want to move on to superintendent's
report. Yeah, move on to superintendent's report.
All right. Just want to make sure that everybody had a chance to see the report from Reverse Polarity. We did have a conference call, as you know, last week with the team. Mary was here, Craig, Kenneth from Bolsies, and Giselle as well. So just wanted to see if there's any discussion that wanted to happen about that you wanted to have about that prior to us going forward.
Well, they did make some suggestions that I think we need to understand a little bit more and examine further, the most important of which was the idea that we are not, in fact, necessarily getting the entire bandwidth we contract for with BOCES all the time because we compete with everybody else. There's no... It's like a local router. I mean, if everybody gets on, then, you know, whoever gets on first gets it, and it's just spread and everybody goes down if too many people are using it. That's what our incoming is, and we do need to examine that, I think. I called them, and they said they did have about 3.5 hours left if the board would like to meet and talk with them, have a presentation or whatever. And I think it would be worthwhile if we...
I actually thought we were doing that tonight.
I thought so too.
But I thought they were making that presentation tonight.
No, I didn't think that at all, but I certainly could ask them to come on the 6th.
Yeah, I think that would be worthwhile.
Than just reading the report.
All right, great, good idea.
Thank you.
Okay, next we have the Cross Wrestling merger request, which again, you all had a chance to read the request for our district to merge with Pauling for lacrosse and for wrestling. And Mr. Zenz just received a letter today from Pauling expressing support for that. This is from the athletic director at Pauling, not from the board, but expressing support for that, that the board would be interested in it from Pauling, that they would continue to host the school and retain the name Tigers, and also cover all costs associated with the functioning of the teams. For example, busing, officials, BOSI services, uniforms, and all of that. Dover is involved in that as well, correct? For lacrosse?
Are they for lacrosse? I'm sorry.
It says...
That could be.
Lacrosse, boys and girls, JV only, Pauling, Dover, Weebatuck. So they would be the Pauling Tigers, but the parents would have to assume all costs and responsibility for transportation.
For so getting the kids to and
from here to there.
To and from.
To and from.
Right. So there's no cost to Weebatuck. Mm-hmm. Is that, I don't know if you want to speak to that. That sum it up?
I mean, are there going to be other kids? There's no way to provide busing if there's more than just Nick.
There's only one student right now, and you wrote the letter on behalf of one student. It's mm-hmm. only...
I mean, will it be available to other students as well?
The district, if that would be a completely different request. If you were going to request that the Weebatuck board accept that like they did for football, that would run, it'd be a very different request. Because
I think she's asking, would the opportunity to play there be open to everybody? In which case, other people would be driving down there.
Oh.
But that would be open to everybody.
Yeah.
It's a question of transportation.
And Pauling has said they're fine with however many kids
right.
want to. Okay.
The question of transportation, if there's a lot of kids in the future, that's a separate issue.
That's a separate issue. Yeah. As of right now, though, you're going to be sole responsibility to transport there and back.
Well, I don't see why we wouldn't let other kids, if they want
exactly.
to take place. I take part. I mean, absolutely.
Sure. But if it was like the football request, yeah. that was a request to the board to sanction the transportation.
Right.
And the district Weebatuck athletic budget is providing the transportation, paying for the transportation.
Right. Right.
So that's.
And we're still in compliance with Title IX.
So if there's right. other kids that are interested in participating, is it feasible at some point they would provide transportation if you put in whatever you have to do to get it through the motion?
We would have to really be, it would have to be a separate proposal to come forward to us again.
Okay.
And we'd have to discuss it because we got to stay within Title IX right now. You're basically invited to the program to join Pauling, right? And in order for us, if what I think is to stay in Title IX, we have to offer to everyone, boys and girls, we'd have to have a matching program, basically, even though we're merging with them. That's the way it would be working, right?
Right.
Would providing busing turn it into a school-sanctioned activity?
Yes.
Then?
I
okay.
believe
so
it would.
That's what he's trying to say is,
right.
yeah.
This is all new to me.
Right. Right.
It means because the football request came through last year, prior to the budget vote and during the budget planning, Mr. Zenz, the athletic director, was able to say to the board within his allotted budget for athletics, he was able to fund the cost to transport the kids to and from Dover for football. That planning took place last year. So if you're saying in the future, if we had 15 kids that wanted to play lacrosse, would the board consider that? If there was planning time ahead and Mr. Zenz was involved ahead of time, it certainly would be open for consideration.
I know that the day they had the lacrosse team borrowing their field, there was a lot of kids out there watching, and it's become a very, very popular sport.
It's a fun sport.
It's an awesome sport,
yeah.
And it's been playing for 5 years. That's why I didn't want them to not be able to play, because they just got to put into the Pauling school. They just actually had it was like through a league, but not through the school. So this will be the first year.
So it was a youth league program before?
Yes, yeah. And they still have the youth league. The JV is the first team that's actually going to be through the school, because what happened was, as they got to the older grades, they had limited teams they could play because they weren't through a school.
Right.
So they had to find private schools, and they were driving far to get teams to play because they weren't actually through the school. So they just passed that to get it into the school. This will be the first year.
Believe me, you're probably putting some miles on still now to find the schools of your size to play.
But regarding Title IX, did that letter say boys and girls?
Yes.
And so that's it,
so
right?
It would be okay,
and boys and
anyway.
Girls. I mean, it's open to girls. If girls want to do it, girls can.
Yeah.
And but so right now we don't have to really worry about Title IX either, because we're not providing the bus to get there. Is that what it is?
No, we don't really need to worry about Title IX. We're very close with the addition of football, but we do offer. I think we were ahead for girls.
We were ahead for girls. Now football balanced out the boys.
So if we open this up to boys and girls, we're still even. Good.
Okay.
But
right
her
now,
general question.
I think I get it. I'm just thinking like, if we, this is something I think kids would want to do. So I don't know. But right now it's just going to be Nick heading down there. I mean, he's the only kid who knows about it. Right.
Well, that's because, you know, I had no idea if it was something even possible, but I wanted him to have the opportunity. But I know that, I know your daughter likes
it. I know, she totally wants to play.
Her and Nick, girl, it's not that awesome.
She's totally
I think that if the kids knew that it was something that they could do, you may have a variety of people come forward to participate.
Yeah, I think you're taking the first step. The first step is right
like
now.
I said, I didn't know. I had no idea. I just wanted to see if I could get and to be able to, because even wrestling, when we moved up here, you know, he wrestled 1 year. He lost his first match, never lost another match. Mm-hmm. So when he came up here, they didn't have wrestling. But his grades up here are awesome, and I don't want to leave here in order for Nick to play sports. That, you know, it doesn't, I don't want to do that. He's doing too well up here.
Okay.
But I think that there'll probably be a lot of other kids that would benefit from that.
Maybe not this year, maybe in future years.
As it
like
grows.
Like I said, I didn't know. I asked Mr. Zenz at the sports award dinner, you know, just because I figured I had nothing to lose for asking.
Providing more opportunities for them is, who could complain about that?
Yeah,
you know, it's like,
you know, I know for him, when he's busy playing sports, he does better in school, he does better all around. If he's not doing something, he's got a lot of energy, a lot of it. And it's not good if he's not doing something constructive with it. And
idle hands,
you know,
and all that. Yeah.
He was like, really? Really, Mom? You're going to ask him? Oh, like, I got nothing to lose to ask.
Okay.
But I think, you know, I'd like to see other kids benefit as well, because I think, you know, there's a lot of kids like Nick.
And I think they would, and I want to just push this a minute, because I don't know, and if you don't know, perhaps we can find out. Is there a difference between Pauling inviting them and it simply being something they're going to, and the school sort of merging with them and providing a bus? Is there a difference then? Suppose only wrestling got enough people or something. Would that then tip us over with the Title IX thing?
Mm-hmm.
That it would be good to know that, that's all.
What
so
does
that,
that
if it
mean,
comes
what
up.
Is Title IX?
We have to offer equal programs to girls and boys. And so when these opportunities come up, this one's for boys and girls, but I think that if only boys want to do it, then it's still, it's the same as only offering it to boys, right? We, there would have to be something
for... Well, though, I think you know a girl that might want to do it.
I do.
We have the opportunity. Yeah. Just having the option is...
Yeah, yeah, I think she's saying that says whether girls want to do it or not. But if wrestling were saying boys, that might be different.
But even in some parts, where you have girls that want to do it, and they file Title IX, they get... allowed to wrestle on the boys' team.
There was a girl wrestling in Portland when one
of them. Oh, good. Then they are allowed.
So, you know,
it seems like this is okay then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, but
good.
She was out there with them every week.
Well, my daughter, when she started hockey, ice hockey, there was no high school team in the area. Yeah. So we had to do the Millbrook Youth Hockey, which played all the other local teams around anyway. Yeah. She played from age 3 to 17. Through Millbrook Youth Hockey, but the only girl on the boys' team. So, yeah. But
that's cool.
But there's no other opportunities for us here to do it then.
Right.
So this is a start for a merger, okay?
Okay.
Good.
So if there's general support among the board, we'll put it on as a board resolution next time to approve that, and then we'll let the Pauling Board of Education know that we are headed that way.
Right.
And then this is the first step, so that you would be agreeing to transportation. Then if it expands over the year, we get more interest, Mr. Zenz will know that, he'll bring it to the board, then it'll be something to consider.
If she's paying 40 students, insurance-wise.
I'm not trying to throw a cold water on it. Right now, we have...
She's responsible. We can double-check
it. We can double-check and make sure she's aware of this, too.
But
she has one with her or something.
We can do is gauge interest.
Right, no, we can't insure her.
They're all known for
fun.
Okay,
and you know how times are. But that's
her. Yes, her. She assumes
that. You know, an issue for another day.
Thank you for taking the initiative.
Actually, in spring. I'm sorry, it's the fall. It's bad.
There we go.
And that's when wrestling?
No, wrestling's winter. So it's just, I'm sorry, it shouldn't be that big an issue.
Wrestling's through, I believe, March, isn't it?
Right.
November through March or something, or December through March. Yeah. So, all right, thank you very much for your presentation. You don't have to say for the rest of our meeting, you don't want to. Okay.
You don't have to be polite. Right.
You're also welcome to stay, Jenna, but you don't need to.
Thank you very much. Nice to meet you.
Thank you so much.
And Mrs. Chasen, we know it's your first day of work, so you're welcome to stay if you want to. But you also want to start.
You're
You're welcome to stay.
Sure?
It's up to you.
Yes.
You're going to see
take the advantage when you can get it.
We'll have a huge
I don't know. I'm like, you're the audience member.
Don't worry. We'll put you on a hot seat sometimes.
Okay. All right. You'll take it.
Not that we're trying to chase you away or anything, you know.
Hopefully, I've got plenty here to keep you busy. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
The
administrative consultant that's on for discussion and possible adoption tonight. You saw my recommendation that if we're going to do it, I think we should go ahead and do it before school starts. Could make a case for it, as you know, to assist the principals with this responsibility. It does bring in a very unbiased sort of a view of the teachers, and we could assign her to take on K through 12, not just this past year. She did 4, 5, and 6 classroom teachers, but not special areas. She did 7 through 12 English, math, science, and social studies. So the other really large benefit to that is the instructional leadership that the principals would have time to take on. And they will be very, they can do it. If we don't do this, they can certainly do their jobs, and they will. But we do have a brand new administrator as well who could really benefit from
it. So I know there's been some grumbling from teachers about us going this year. And is there any substance to that?
The concerns I heard last year were that there were only certain teachers who were evaluated by Mrs. Richards. Mm-hmm. Elementary, they didn't have her over there at all. Certain teachers, like when we were running out of time, I said to high school principal, you can begin with the special areas, music, art, phys ed, and we went with the core areas. So that was the concern that I heard, was that it was not everybody. Yeah. That was the only concern that came to me.
I don't know if
there are others that you
heard. I think that was the main thrust when the grievance was filed, is that that was their main point, that some people were were evaluated by someone who had been familiar with them, etc., and other people weren't, and that was the main concern. And I think that I think if everyone is evaluated by an outside source, I think that pretty much takes that problem away. But I'm not entirely sure why we have to do the appointment tonight. I have nothing against, from everything I've heard, she's done a very good job. I would just, for myself, feel a little better if I got to read some of the evaluations, to just a little cross section and see, because right now, I mean, we're basically placing all our whole future in this person's hands. So I'd like to have a little bit more hands-on feel for it. That's just me.
We would see them blinded. Is that
well, you can request to see them in executive session.
Right.
If the whole board requests that, we can bring them in. They don't need to be names redacted or anything like that.
No,
if you request
it just
that,
has to be in executive session.
Yeah. So
if that's the request, we won't do it tonight. We'll do it next time.
Right.
So I have them
right
at my fingertips, but we can do that very easily for next time.
Then the other thing with Ophelia only doing the core classes, and my understanding was because of the testing and how the test scores feed into the new APP, or that the teachers in those other areas, the evaluations and the tests they're just not as critical for whatever reason. Why? Somebody help me out with why.
The ones like that, what is it, SLL? Who essentially are not evaluated as an APPR, they have their own evaluation plan based on things including tests and other things. They're not evaluated because the work that's done is so far removed from something that's easy to evaluate,
right,
that you really can't use just an observation, easy to observe rather. So, you know, things like what phys ed teachers, social studies teachers,
because wherever there's not a New York State exam, so
yeah,
grades 3 through 8, all of those teachers, anybody who teaches English or math or special education, will get a growth score from the state of New York. We're waiting for those numbers,
mm-hmm,
out of 20 points for the teachers and for the principals, grades 4 through 8. High school regents, same thing. If they are administering a regents exam, they're going to get a growth score from the state of New York, up to 20 points, depending on how their students did compared to other kids around the state. Same thing for the high school principal. You will get a growth score out of 20 compared to all the rest of the state of New York. So those 20, that's a given. The rest of it, we did the NWEA exams, which the district adopted. So that's grades K through 10. So those people will get what's called a VARC score, value added RC, VARC, value added.
Yeah.
Darn, I wish that thing was recorded, because I should know that. But in any case, it takes into account if it's a student with disabilities, if it's an English language learner, if it's an economically disadvantaged student. The value of that is normed for the teacher, so they get a 20-point score as well. So what you're referring to with an SLO, student learning objective, those are the music teachers who don't have a New York State exam, or an art teacher.
Phys ed, some of the, speech?
Speech doesn't go.
You know,
if
the teachers,
they do their own.
I don't understand this. Okay. Like, if they want the evaluation from an outside professional for their own professional development, then I get that. But I think what we were saying was it's lower stakes, and it is. And this is how much money we have, and this is what we're prioritizing. And I don't know that we have to now say, oh, every single person gets the outside. I just don't understand.
I think it's good to have a second look at all of our teachers. Not just one or two, but all of our teachers.
If we're able to do that within our 60 days, because I'm recommending $500 a day, because, you know, we had a number of candidates last year who won quite a bit more than that. But if we budget the same amount of money that we budgeted last year, but expand it into the elementary grades.
And it even could be one or another. And I'll tell you, my other concern about this is that I hate, a while ago, because this has come up in business too, if you're making a policy, the policy really shouldn't be directed toward the fact that you have someone you like and trust in a position now, because the policy stays whether that person goes or not. And if you really want to make things work well, you put policies in place that work no matter who's there. So that if somewhere down the road we have any question about there being favoritism or not favoritism, if we have someone who is brand new and doing evaluations compared to principals who've been here for 10 years and doing evaluations, is it fair to them? That's the one argument that I think they can make, is if some of them get one process and some of them get another process. I think that is a fair complaint. We didn't have any choice this year because of what happened with the middle school principal, but I think we are better off leveling the playing field, making sure that we have something that moves, that works smoothly and objectively. Now, obviously, how good it is done is based on the person who's doing it, but at least it's objective. They have no skin in the game. They're not going to see these people walking through the hall and have to wince if they gave someone a bad evaluation. They're not going to know them from, you know, having worked with them or having had dinner with them at parties and that, and feel like, oh, I just can't do that to them.
Yeah.
It's objective.
We have to pay a lot of money to have these done.
Well, we pay a lot of money for teachers we tenure who turn out not to be a good idea.
Oh, okay, so that's it. Because I'm looking, I'm going, they're already tenured. There is no state exam for their kids that's going to say, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's lower stakes on these.
Well,
yes, it is.
In which areas?
Special areas.
You're saying the art and music teachers, our focus, our primary focus is English and math, and in general ed, elementary.
It may be lower stakes for the kids having to take tests, but we still have special area teachers making $100,000, and that's a lot of money to spend, and not get the best person you can for the position.
I agree. So I need to look into it myself, I guess, because I know there's a formula with some of the classes where there's your test scores and there are your evaluations, and but when there's no test scores, like for a special area, what would be the formula?
They write a student learning outcome or objective, an SLO. Mm-hmm. Predicting that they will give an assessment in September, they will predict that they can get a 10% growth by June, or whatever they predict, mm-hmm. or 70% of their students in high school, whatever class they're teaching, will achieve mastery, and 80%, you know, will increase by 10%, whatever they pick. This year, pretty much across the board, we agreed that 70%, we would get 70% of where we thought we would get, where we wanted to be. We know that was a fine first year benchmark, but 70% is not that high, and everybody already knows that. So we're going to move that up this year to 75 or 80%. We want 80% of our kids to get whatever the target is, not just 70%. So those teachers, they don't have a state score, but they still have 20% that they have to predict that they're going to achieve, and they've got to work hard to get their kids to achieve.
Wow.
And if they don't get to that 20, they don't get all their kids here, they don't get the 20 points, they might get 17 or 12 or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It's all on a scale between 1 and
12. So back to the grumbling. So the teachers grumbled because some got it and some didn't, but I thought the grumbling was that no one should get it because we shouldn't be spending the taxpayer money to on these extras when we have a staff who's supposed to do this. I'm not in favor of that argument, but I think that was, you know, people were, that was the concern, was the financial side.
That was part of it, but I still think